Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, I Come First, Prisoners, Lovers, and Spies by science historian Christy Macrakis traces the long, surprising history of secret writing fluids and the people who relied on them. Using widely reported episodes from antiquity through modern counterterrorism, the book treats invisible ink not as a gimmick but as a practical technology shaped by chemistry, politics, and human ingenuity. Readers are guided from early accounts associated with classical historians to the craft of wartime intelligence services, showing how clandestine communication evolved alongside methods of detection. Macrakis highlights the constant cat-and-mouse dynamic between those who hide messages and those who hunt them, revealing how small advances in materials and technique could shift the balance in espionage and resistance. Along the way, the narrative connects laboratories, battlefields, prisons, and private lives, illustrating why invisible ink has appealed to everyone from lovers seeking privacy to networks planning violence. The result is an accessible, science-grounded story of secrecy in action. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, ancient roots of hidden messages. The book begins by anchoring invisible ink in the deep past, when the need to communicate privately was already a matter of survival. Early stories linked to the classical world show that secrecy was not confined to courts and armies, but was woven into everyday power struggles, betrayals, and attempts to outmaneuver rivals. By following these accounts, the narrative illustrates how simple ideas, such as writing with substances that appear blank until treated, could be strategically transformative. Macrakis emphasizes that the earliest methods were constrained by what people could access and understand: plant juices, milk, soot suspensions, or other common materials that could be made to reveal themselves by heat or by applying another substance. This period also introduces a recurring theme: hidden writing is only as useful as its concealment is plausible. If a blank sheet itself looks suspicious, the method fails. The ancient material therefore sets up the book's broader argument that invisible ink is a social technology as much as a chemical one, dependent on habits, expectations, and the risks that messengers face when intercepted. Secondly, the chemistry behind disappearing ink. A major thread is the science that makes invisible ink possible and the practical constraints that define what works in the real world. The book explains, at a high level, why some inks become visible with heat, why others need chemical developers, and why certain mixtures leave telltale traces even when the message cannot be read. It also shows how requirements can conflict. An ink might be easy to prepare, but degrade paper, smell unusual, or fluoresce under basic inspection. Macrakis places these details in the context of users who are not chemists. The best methods are those that can be applied quickly, carried discreetly, and revealed reliably by the recipient without elaborate equipment. The narrative also explores how detection advanced through simple improvements such as better lighting, iodine fumes, and later laboratory techniques, which push practitioners toward more sophisticated formulations. This interplay helps readers see invisible ink as a moving target. It is less about a single perfect recipe and more about adapting chemical principles to changing surveillance, resources, and the tolerance for operational risk. Thirdly, espionage, tradecraft, and wartime innovation. The book uses the growth of modern intelligence services to show how invisible ink became professionalized. As states created dedicated spy agencies and wartime bureaucracies, clandestine communication turned into a system with protocols, training, and quality control. Invisible ink sits within a wider toolkit that includes cover stories, coded language, microdots, dead drops, and secure courier routes. Macrakis highlights that secret writing must integrate with operational realities. The message has to be short, legible after development, and safe for both sender and receiver if searched. Wartime pressures also spurred rapid experimentation, with intelligence services evaluating inks for stability, ease of concealment, and resistance to common detection methods. At the same time, counterintelligence units refined screening techniques, turning mailrooms and censorship offices into laboratories of suspicion. The theme that emerges is that invisible ink is never purely clever. It is bureaucratic, tested, standardized, and shaped by logistics. Success depends on discipline and procedure as much as on chemistry, and failures often come from human error, poor tradecraft, or underestimating the adversary's inspection capabilities. Fourthly, Prisoners and Lovers: Personal Uses of Secrecy. Beyond formal espionage, the book pays attention to the intimate and improvised uses of invisible ink. In prisons, hidden writing can be a lifeline, enabling inmates to communicate despite censorship and surveillance. In romantic or private contexts, invisible ink becomes a way to create a protected channel in environments where open correspondence is monitored by families, authorities, or social norms. Macrakis uses such examples to emphasize that secrecy is a basic human impulse, not only a state project. These stories also spotlight the ingenuity of people with limited resources who repurpose household substances and everyday objects to create covert communication systems. The risks, however, are immediate. Unlike professional spies, prisoners and ordinary citizens may lack training, making them more vulnerable to telltale mistakes such as uneven application, paper damage, or suspicious patterns in letters. The topic reinforces the broader argument that invisible ink is intertwined with power and vulnerability. Those who are watched most closely often have the strongest need for concealed messages. And their creativity helps explain why the practice persists even when modern technology offers many alternative channels. Lastly, terror networks, countermeasures, and the modern mythology. In its modern arc, the book addresses how invisible ink appears in contemporary security discussions, including claims about its use by extremist networks. McCrockies treats the subject with a historian's skepticism, separating sensational narratives from more grounded accounts of how covert communication might actually be attempted. The key insight is that invisible ink remains attractive because it can bypass digital monitoring. Yet it also faces powerful modern detection capabilities and the practical problem of moving physical media. The book highlights how counterterrorism agencies think about low-tech tradecraft and why seemingly old-fashioned methods can reemerge when electronic channels are surveilled or disrupted. At the same time, it shows that media attention can inflate the aura of invisible ink, turning it into a symbol of hidden threats even when evidence is ambiguous or the technique is unreliable. This topic brings the cat-and-mouse story into the present, emphasizing how secrecy adapts to surveillance and how public narratives about espionage and terrorism shape what societies fear, fund, and investigate. In conclusion, this book suits readers who enjoy narrative history with real-world science, including fans of espionage, security studies, and the everyday history of technology. It is also a strong fit for students and general readers curious about how chemistry intersects with politics, censorship, and human creativity. The main benefit is a clearer understanding of secrecy as a practical system. You come away seeing why hidden communication is rarely about a single clever trick, and more about constraints, detection, logistics, and mistakes. That perspective is useful far beyond spy stories, sharpening how you evaluate claims about covert methods, media panic, and the limits of surveillance. Compared with many spy-themed books that focus on agencies, personalities, or dramatic missions, McCrockies offers a distinctive through line: the material techniques of invisible ink and their long historical continuity from ancient accounts to modern security concerns. That makes the book worth buying. If you want something that blends readable storytelling with explanations of how and why the method works and when it fails, it stands out by connecting prisoners, lovers, and state actors in one coherent history, showing that the urge to hide words is both personal and geopolitical. If you would like to support Christy McCrockies, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.